what we seem to forget about living in Christ, when he was resurrected, the day, that Sunday morning, they went, they didn't see somebody that looked like death warmed over. He glowed. Life was new in him. It was as bright as the sunning, the sun. I'll just stop there. The shining sun. There was so much radiance, so much glory. And I think part of what maybe even on for Jesus on that side of the cross, that side of the grave, was knowing that what he had just gone through, what he did, would redeem us from death so that we may have a life full of life. Not a life where pastors can't wear Hawaiian shirts to church. I felt like being bright today on a dreary day. If not, if you don't buy that, I'm showing my empathy for the people in Hawaii. I don't know about y'all, but if it were me, I'd be in my banana boat rowing as fast as I could. But no, but God, life illuminates, life radiates. We're so afraid of anything that is bright, so afraid of anything that is bringing life to something. That is why so many churches, and Phil, we were talking about this one time about, you know, back when he was being groomed as a young man in the church, and, you know, they were saying, you know, you don't wear, preachers don't wear bright ties or anything to draw attraction to them. They just kind of wanted to be businesslike. I told Angela today, I said, you know what, I know I'm not going looking professional. I said, actually, I find that the less professional I look, the better the message. So, because it's me. God will use the life that's in you to bring life to other people. And you just, you know, some of you, I know, you were taught, be like this. You know, we're not Amish. Okay? We're not Amish. Cutting out colors, cutting out life in your life is not going to redeem you or make you holy. It has nothing to do with it. So today, I want you to take that with you when you leave here later. You're not leaving yet. You can leave later. I want you to take that life that God has given and live it. Life was meant for living. Life was meant for adventure. Life was meant to experience. And you know what? Here's the true revelation. Without the negative, we'd never know what the good was. If all we ever lived in was good, we'd never know that we had it good until we saw somebody or we experienced the negative. You know, we don't realize as white people the bondage of treating somebody because they're a different color different. Most of us have not had that experience. I got to experience it just a little bit in Washington, D.C. We went to a Pizza Hut. There was a group of us from the church, from our church. We went up there for some meetings. We went to Pizza Hut. We were the only white people in there, and we barely got served. Go figure. How many churches back, some of you remember the days when it said white only on the doors. Whites, you know, blacks, I'll be honest with you, as a white guy, I preferred the back of the bus. I could get away with a lot of stuff. I would have gladly traded any of them for the back of the bus. The people could always see me in the front. No, but we cannot experience life and look at other people and say, you know what? You're lesser than me. You're different nationality. We got people Well, you're Irish, but we don't like you. Well, you're German, we don't like you. You're Swiss, you're African, you're Japanese. We're all God's people. And by us bringing racism against each other is not bringing life to anybody. And I think that's one of the things that breaks God's heart is when he sees his people acting like morons. So, on a good note, my surgery is Thursday. So, we'll get this knee fixed and I won't be hobbling around. Amen, amen. Get this thing rectified. You know, and I know people, well, don't you believe God for healing? I believed, I prayed, and this is how God's doing it, but I want you to understand something. This has been a blessing to me because the military took responsibility for it. And they're paying me for it, finally. So it's one of those things. Anyhow, we'll just stop right there and bless the offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day. Lord God, I thank you and I praise you for your life that flows through us. Lord, I thank you that this life can be spread to other people. Lord, may we be such an example of life that people see us and they know that we are Christians. Lord, I thank you and I praise you right now for this. I bless the tithe and the offering today, Lord. We present it to you as holy, as separate, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated and the super kids are dismissed. Hey, Jesse, turn these fans up a little bit. Turn these fans up when you get back here. I hope some, yeah, I was going to say, it's warm up here. I was about ready to turn the air conditioner on, but. All the women experiencing hot flashes said, we will not stop you from turning that on. You know, the other night I got to, 2 weeks ago almost, with my crew, we went out of town to start on a barn. And the one boy, 17 years old, had left the Amish community. And he's still working through being backward and all this stuff. And, well, he decided he was going to quit. And we only had two beds, and the other one was the pullout, which turned out to be, in this hotel, a cushion on top of a bench right over top of the air conditioner. And guess who was hot on the other side of the room? He kept turning the heat, sneaking in and turning the heater on, and I turned the air conditioner back on and run the temperature down. Oh, no. 17-year-olds can sleep on foam mattresses. Papa gets the real mattress. But anyhow, that night I told him, I said, you're going to need a blanket. His pride would not let him go get a blanket. I'm going to sleep in my clothes. Well, I've done that many times, but you're still going to want a blanket. About 2:30, the thermostat was right there at the foot of my bed. 2:30 in the morning, I opened my eye, and there he was with his phone turning the heater on. He'd been laying over shivering the whole night. I was like, swallow your pride and go get a blanket, man. You'd have been perfect. I was. All snuggled in, but yeah. Well, today we're gonna pick up back up where we were talking about the Holy Spirit, and particularly in prophecy, dealing with prophecy within the church. We've talked a lot about things, you know, prophelying groups, things of that nature that I've seen over the years. Couple weeks ago, Angela and I had the opportunity to have dinner with J.C. Church and his wife. J.C. is the pastor of Victory and Truth over in Bucyrus. And you know, we were sitting around, and this was in somebody else's home. They actually hosted it. And so we were sitting around talking, and you know, and he asked a couple questions, and I just started saying, well, you don't know anything about me, so I'm just going to tell you where I came from and what I've been through and stuff. And, you know, and I just shared with him that, you know, as a teen, I'd seen a lot of garbage happening because of people calling it the Spirit. This is the Spirit moving through me. We blamed everything on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit got a serious black eye. And I told him, I said, I just seen all kinds of hypocrisy within the leadership of the church. I saw this, I saw that. And I said, and it's stuff that, in my opinion, is not scriptural. And, you know, and after I shared a few things, he said something. And, you know, his wife, the deal was there's supposed to be no preaching that night. That was the host's only thing. He said, no business. And he just sat there and looked, and he said, well, I got three things. Well, and then he said, well, four. Now, just so you know, all four things were not revelations to me. I already knew them. But all four things were confirmation of what I knew. See, confirmation and revelation. I already got the revelation because that's what the Holy Spirit had showed me. Confirmation is always nice to know. Oh, yeah, I've got this. You ever make a hotel reservation online or on the phone? Here's your confirmation number. You show up without the confirmation number and they don't have your reservation in their computer, you no longer have a confirmation and you no longer have a room. But if you got the number, they can find your room. It's confirmation is a good thing to have. And I told him, I said, you know, I saw all this stuff happening. And he said, this is something I saw. He said, God let you go through that to experience and see what was wrong in order that you may rectify things. And when I told Angela when we left, I said, well, that was nothing new to me. I already knew that. That was something God began showing me a while back that, okay, we do restore people. We build them back up. But a lot of times we have to tell the truth, and it has to be a hard truth. Truth is not always easy to swallow. We don't like it. Just like we were talking this morning over there, this morning over some coffee, and we were talking about freedom and how religion and cults, they like to control their people. That's because they're afraid of freedom. That's why, if you look at it, liberals want to control everything. They're afraid of what real freedom is. They have the freedom of speech, but I don't. No, that's not how this cookie crumbles. We all have freedom of speech. It does not matter if I happen to be standing up here in a pulpit. Well, then we're going to take your tax exemption. Hasta la vista, tax exemption. Tax exemption. It's freedom of speech. Either I have it or nobody has it. That's all there is to it. And so God has really been stirring on me in the last little while about things, and particularly in the abuses, what I'm going to call, of the gifts of the Spirit. Gifts are exactly that. They are gifts, but they are not the point of our existence. Okay? We live, I can't tell you how many times people say, well, I didn't feel the Spirit flowing in there. There weren't tongues and interpretations and interpretive dances and all of this stuff. That's not the point. That stuff draws attention to us. And there is good that comes out of that improper, we're going to look at that today, improper context. But when it's done out of the proper context, it is no longer us glorifying God. It is us drawing attention to us. And so, if you did not feel the Spirit, or we didn't pray in enough tongues for you, I don't care. I will err on the side of saying something in English that you understand, that you might grow from it. I might say something in such plain English that I will offend you. Sometimes people wonder, well, why am I just not getting it? I've been in church for 30 years and I'm just not getting it. Because the preacher's using these million-dollar words and he needs to use some words that are going to offend 90% of the congregation. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, you want to go in and you want to say, God, you feel God's called you to minister to Marines. I'm going to tell you right now, you go in, start talking like the Air Force. We always consider them maybe a little smarter. They got a lot of high tech crap. See, that just offended some people. You want to go talk to Marines? You better be ready to be rough. And I ain't saying you got to crawl down in the exact mud, but you can't dance around. Sometimes you just got to blow through the door and say, here I am and here's the truth. Otherwise, one, they don't respect you and they never understand. Same thing with bikers. Well, I'm going, God called me to minister to bikers. Listen, I'm not talking about preachers riding around on motorcycles with jackets. Okay? I'm talking about real bikers that says Hell's Angels on the back. I'm not going to lie to you. I told somebody the other day, I said, especially when I go up a little bit north, you go up around Toledo, there's a Hell's Angels chapter up there. And anytime I was on my Kawasaki, I was a little concerned. They don't like metric bikes. And if you ride in one, they don't like you. And while I know that in my mind, I think I can take on 100 guys, my backside says, oh no, you can't. Well, I was going to say, I've outran a few. And I'm going to tell you right now, I think I could probably put my feet down and make it go a little faster if I had to. But you've got to be willing to be what you have to be. I'm not saying you become a drug addict, but sometimes you got to speak the language. And I'm going to tell you right now, the things you've been through, you can understand if you take what you have learned by the deliverance. You know, I know we've got a good half dozen people in here who are delivered from drugs. If you take what you know, don't flower it all up with what you think is the gospel, and you're trying to talk to somebody, talk to them plain. You want to get somebody's attention? Slap them in the face. That gets their attention, not physically. They will get your attention. But you have to be there. Jesus talked to people on their level. We look in our Bible, well, it says this, and it was just so poetic. Stop. The King James Version is a poem. It was written in that form for a purpose. But if we were to go to the Greek and the Hebrew, it's not as delicate sometimes about things. These were the words they were using. But because of sensitivities, things changing, we've changed how we preached. And now we have a watered down gospel that allows for sin. Grace allows you to overcome. Grace does not give you permission to be a moron and keep living in sin. If you keep living in sin, the Bible says, Paul put it this way, there is no longer a sacrifice. You choose not to live in the freedom. So what JC told me that day, I told Angela, it was not a revelation to me. This was something I know. This is something that people need to understand. That's why I don't participate in little home cell groups. I don't recommend home cell groups. Because that's what comes out of them today, in this day and age. 100 years ago, that was probably a lot of churches were small groups of people. 150 years ago. You know, definitely during the times of Paul. They were smaller congregations that got together. And even then, this is why you need to understand, these were not all the books. The books we have in the New Testament were not all of the books that were written in that time. There were so many books. Finally, after a while, people said, hey, we got to get the message right. This person says this. This person says that. And they said, we need to put them in so that it fits with what the Old Testament has said. And so they started doing that. So each person was getting a revelation, but they weren't getting the truth. Because as I taught a couple weeks ago about the churches in the book of Revelation, Jesus said, this I have against you, that you have accepted the message of the Nicolaitans, the doctrine, which was sexual immorality, letting people live together, shacking up, doing whatever you wanted, bouncing around, swinging, whatever you want to call it. It's sin. And Jesus said, these churches, if you do not straighten up, I will cast you out. But today it's, well, they just need mercy. No, they need to be told they're going to hell. You're not living the truth. You've got an idea of what's going on, but you're not abiding by it. So many people think, well, the speed limit, you know, I think the speed limit should be 100. I don't. I think it could be increased a little bit, but not much. I think on back roads, it needs to be lowered. Legally, it is 55. It shouldn't be. And it should be highly enforced. But we can no longer continue to say, well, this is of the Spirit. The Spirit showed me. Let me tell you right now, everything that the Spirit has gotten blamed for was supposed to be judged by two or three. Judged. Not just, well, I think that'll work. No, they were to sit around and say, okay, what's this got to do with the price of gas? What's this got to do with anything in my life? Well, it's just what I felt. Well, you know, there's been times I've felt things and realized it was just constipation. And that's all that we have. We have a lot of spiritual constipation, people thinking this is a churning of the Holy Spirit. You just got gas. Go to the bathroom, get some relief. Please go to the bathroom. You go to fire those off. And then you can think straight. Oh, that was really going to be stupid what I was about to say. That is why if I say anything, I'm going to tell you right now, I will not give specifics because I do not prophesy. Never have. I will say God's going to do something because I'm believing God's going to do something. It's not a prophecy. God's always going to do something. I'm the optimistic person. I'm the little boy that when he opened the door to the room that was half full of horse poop, he said, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. Not the little boy that says, oh man, look at all this horse poop. I will search and I will look. I will do what it needs to be done to find the treasures. I can't tell you how many things this week I went back on the other side of Lima to work on this barn and treasures that I found under hay, under big, really big piles of coon poop. I told Joe and Fane this morning, I said, if there's ever a disease that is linked to coon poop, I have my immunization done. I think I've breathed enough of the smell and stuff in for a week to... I can only imagine what we smell like when we go back to the hotel room and we walk past that desk. So when we get revelations, they have to matter. What's it got to do with anything? Well, who's getting freed with this revelation? That's what revelations are for, are to free you. You get a revelation to where the escape door, the escape hatch is at. There's a reason. You escape. You get away. You take as many as you can with you. But if you get a revelation and you keep it, and you all die, well, that was just kind of foolish. But let's look real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's go to verse 1. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Again, prophesying is the foretelling of things to come. Okay? These are things, when you prophesy, of things to come. And if they do not come to pass, back in the Old Testament days, they stoned your butt. That's just all there was. How many of you remember the Bob Dylan song, "Everybody Must Get Stoned"? Well, he's not talking about smoking pot. He's actually talking about getting stoned. This was back, I believe, in Dylan's days when he found Jesus. There might have still been a little bit of pot growing around in there. I don't know, but Dylan's never been totally. But it says to pursue love. Here's what the Holy Spirit showed me about this. Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts. Here's the problem. We desire love and we pursue gifts. All these gifts operate through love. They don't operate because you're such a special ordained person. If you don't know how to love, you will not have the proper gift. Well, I've been told that I'm a prophet. Well, where's your love walk? I just heard you drop the N-word over there. Explain to me how that's a love. Explain to me how you said that the Baptist church was going to hell. No, they're not. Any church that says they're the only ones going to heaven, they're messed up in the head. They're going to be severe. There were seven different churches. And the Bible teaches us against sectarianism. Well, they don't believe the right way. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. I've been in the Pentecostal charismatic realm for a very long time. And many, many, many of them have been totally wrong. They were more controlling than any denomination, more than any cult. Well, if you don't wear a tie, you can't minister. If you weren't in pre-prayer, you can't minister. Give me a Pentecostal break. Bible says, be instant in season and out of season. Boom. It's the unction of the Holy Spirit. It's not, well, I spent 10 hours. Now, listen, there was a time in life, you can ask Angela, when I first started, God grew me up at about 7, 8 o'clock on Sunday night, I would start on my message, writing it down, everything. And at about 2 o'clock in the morning, I'd come to bed. God doesn't do that with me anymore because he grew me up. He said, you need to trust me. He said, all I need, the Bible will back this, all you need to do is trust God and open your mouth when he says to open it. So many people worried, oh, I just don't know if I'm going to be ready to tell people. God will bring the opportunity. All you got to do is be willing to open your mouth. You still control that. You can either keep it closed or open it up at the right time. And timing is most of the time everything. But to pursue love without it, I don't care what your gift is. You can say, well, I've got the gift of prophecy. I got this gift. I got that gift. If I don't see your love, I will not use you. That's all there is to this. Without your love growing for people, going beyond yourself. Well, you know, I don't see what I'm getting out of this. You know, I didn't see what I was getting out of doing all them stupid push-ups in boot camp. Until I got to the end of boot camp and they did my final weigh-in. I weighed in when I went in at 133 pounds. My final weigh-in was 150 pounds. I did not see those 17 pounds because they were in my arms. They were in my back, my neck, my chest. I never had a six-pack, eight-pack, or anything. You can ask Angela. But I could crank out 120 sit-ups in 2 minutes. Never had that. People go, you got a little fat. I'm 2% body fat. I just don't develop like that. But I never saw what was happening. But when I came home, that's why my own parents didn't recognize me. Because they sent this scrawny little kid to boot camp And what was standing before them was 150 pounds of muscle. They didn't know me. They didn't recognize me. When you are pursuing love, and I'm hoping to God I can get to actually the message today. If not, there's next week. If you're pursuing love, you don't always see the changes happening. You start realizing what's changing in you. One of the reasons I know God sent me to the Marines, and I had to explain this to the guys that were working for me when I had to address the issue of racism. I told them, I said, I was a bigot. I said, I didn't realize how much of a bigot I was until I joined the Marines. God made sure that the first person I ran into at Parris Island was the biggest black man I ever saw in my life. He said, this is my bus, now get off and do not touch me. He was standing in front of the door. We had people trying to crawl out a Greyhound window. He finally did move. My senior drill instructor was a black man. I got my butt laid out by a black man from Miami in boxing. He rung my bell so hard, literally knocked the snot out of me. One of my best friends from boot camp, going through boot camp, we went through school, we ended up in our first unit together. We always told him he was a little black man, but he said he was Cuban. I can't remember if his mom was Cuban or what the deal was, but his sister was white, but he was black. I had a lot of good black friends. And God began changing. I did not see what God was doing until later. Little by little, he started bringing relationships. Because growing up in the middle of Morrow County, I think there was one black kid in each school. And the one in our school, I didn't get along with. And it was just as much my fault as it was his. Looking back, I know he probably didn't have a good row to hoe. But I certainly did not make it any better. And I saw what God began doing. And in all honesty, I wish he was still alive. So I could say I was sorry. But he's not. And I'm not going to live in the past. God has forgiven me. God has grown me up. And that is why I'm standing here telling you this today. If I hadn't grown to love people, regardless of their skin color, regardless of their nationality, whatever their background was, then I couldn't preach to you about love. Nobody can preach to you about love unless they are willing to accept somebody of a different color. Somebody of a different body size. None of our backgrounds, we're all people. God created us in his image. I got news for you. The vision that God gave me one night, and I believe it was of him. It wasn't all of him. Okay, I need you to understand this. People say, well, you can't see God and live. Well, first off, it was a vision. Second off, I never saw his eyes. But what I did see were features. And I'm going to tell you right now, some of us white people got some education coming when we see God. He's not this Greek-looking person. What I saw, I was like, holy smoke, God's got a bigger forehead than I do. God's got a lot wider nose than I do. But neither was he a black man. He was striking, what I could see, and muscular. I've never understood why people paint Jesus to be this frail little weenie hanging on a cross. He was a carpenter back in that day. I'd like these guys that built these barns. I'm sitting here, look, this barn's over 150 years old. There's beams that weigh 1,500 pounds, 30 feet in the air. Somebody had to cut them down. Somebody had to put them up there. They certainly didn't have the lift that I'm using to take it down. But we need to pursue love before we pursue the gift. Okay? For he who speaks in a tongue, verse 2, does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation to men. That's the purpose of prophecy. Everybody, well, I want to know what the future is. Well, if you got that gift, tell me what the Powerball numbers are. I'll tithe, I promise. I'll even buy you a truck. That's not the purpose of prophecy. The purpose of prophecy is to build up and edify people. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. But now, brethren, I come to you speaking with tongues. What shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? If I come up here and I start speaking in Japanese, how many of you know one word, more than one word in Japanese? And domo arigato doesn't count. Everybody from the 80s knows that one. Okay, we got one. Yeah, they probably would if they work at Utaka. Just so you know, I may know six, and I spent a year and a half there. And I didn't learn no until just a few years ago. I should have learned that one first. Always learn no. That was the first thing I learned in Ukraine. Nyit. 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 No, I don't want your pickled herring. Borscht was okay. Pickled herring, eh. Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? God showed me this a little bit ago, or earlier this morning when I was looking over that. You know, if I get up there and I pick up that guitar and I hold what I think is a chord and I strum on that guitar, I can play a wicked air guitar. I mean, I'm Eddie Van Halen on air guitar. But on a real one, I might as well be Pluto. It's not going to sound good. If I get up there and grab that thing, it's not going to do me, you any good. You're going to be like, yeah, you may just want to put that down. And here's where I'm going with this. Not everybody's meant to prophesy. I don't have the gift to play that guitar, but the one who does can smoke it. The person who God uses. God, listen, if you find somebody that's got every gift, run. They are probably the Antichrist. Because Jesus hasn't returned yet. I'm telling you this because God did not give everybody every gift. There are things I can pray for, don't seem to matter. If I'm praying for you for a house, it don't seem to really work. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to ask that little lady right back there. And God moved her out of a trailer to boom, 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 boom. Now she's living in a really nice place in Lexington. God just keeps moving her up. She just started praying. That's how this goes. And a lot of it's God's timing. Everybody, well, I don't know why my house didn't manifest. Well, maybe your house wasn't empty yet. Mine wasn't. Our house wasn't empty yet. But not everybody, just because you can pray in tongues, has the gift of prophecy. And not everybody who calls himself a prophet has the gift of prophecy. Because personally, I think if God's got something to say to you, he knows where you are at. I don't need signs personally. And I know that's why they do this. If I'm in a church service, I really don't need the sign of, okay, I'm feeling this, boom, and then make a connection here to find out this person. I've seen that done. I don't need it. Not necessary for me to believe God. But you know, and the same man did what I just said, but then also turned around and said, there's a pastor in here. He didn't know who which one it was. He said, you're believing for the big building. It's yours. Like I said, there was probably two dozen pastors in that section. We all shouted hallelujah. Problem is, when you're confined to a 15 by 12 dining room, the big building was the building we were believing for. And God manifested it. It was over that weekend that they called the owner and talked to him and made him the crazy offer that I had made. That's prophecy. Okay. But just to go around and say, oh man, you know, I feel God's bringing money into your bank accounts. I've never said that. You ain't willing to work. You ain't willing to go out and sweat and take risks. You ain't no money coming to your bank accounts. God's not going to bless you just because you shared and reposted something on Facebook. Get past that. Here's one I like the best. If you go out and work in 2 weeks, I promise you money will come to you. That's the one I like. Money doesn't just chase people down. There are people who have a gift of making money. Listen to them. Take advice. Heed what they have said. Be willing to take the risks that they've taken. There's nothing guaranteed. Not one thing is guaranteed anymore. Well, you know, we can bank on gold. Well, that was all fine and dandy until, you know, way back in the day when we did the Gold Confiscation Act and they took all of our gold. Then where's your gold? Oh, it's wrapped up in government paper. Now we don't even have gold to back that. Fort Knox is empty. Yeah. So likewise, unless you utter the tongue, words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you may seek to excel. Just as I explained, you know, talked a while back about this barbecue that Phil and I and Phil and Cheryl and Angela and I and some other people from the church were invited to. We were invited to the people in the church's house for a barbecue. We get there, there's a prophet waiting. And when I'm like, I really don't want anything to do with a prophet, especially if we're meeting out off of County Road 24 in a double wide. Nothing against double wides. I'm just saying. You know, you need to bring your gift, if it's a real gift, out. But what he was primarily there for was to take up a little offering. Wrong reason to be a prophet. The right reason is I'm not doing anything for money. I don't do this for money. If I was doing this for money, I'd be traveling. I'll just tell you that straight up. Never did it for the money. I did it because God said to do it. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. If we do not have an understanding of what we just learned, it's totally unfruitful. I hope what I'm doing is helping you. I realize that from time to time, the little rabbit trails may throw you. Take what I left you with and go with it. I'll preach on it again soon, I can promise you. But I'm going to tell you some things that the church doesn't want to hear, but yet even in the satanic world, they know this. You can't just prophesy money. You can't prophesy love. You can't make people love you. You know that? Even in the movies, they'll say, I can't make a potion to make somebody fall in love with you. But the church tries it. I shared this a couple weeks back. And I'll share it again. If you've had a word, particularly a specific word of something, put it on a shelf and watch it. That's what means putting on a shelf means. Just like if God closes a door, I said this to somebody one time, and they said, well, God closed the door on us. I said, well, look for the window. You know what this person had the audacity to say? I'm not a thief. I'm not crawling through a window. Why did your mind go there? Windows are for looking through, to watch what's happening, to see why God shut the door on you. Why did your mind instantly think that I was telling you to crawl through a window? Because deep down, you are a thief. That's why. If I tell you to look through, find the window, and just watch and see what God took and saved you from, I'm not telling you to find a back door into the situation. Man, if you really wanted to, you could kick the door open. You do know that. But if God shuts it, I mean, God shut my toes in a couple doors. I was trying to go through them and he shut them. Yeah, leave the door shut and watch what God saved you from. Oh, but it looked so good, Pastor. It was so promising. No, it wasn't going to be promising. I'm trying to debate if I got enough time. I do. Verse 26, same chapter. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Everybody came together back in those days and they all had something they wanted to share. People get so excited. I'm going to say this. There was a time when there were several pastors in the community getting together and we were praying. Like 5 o'clock in the morning, we were getting together and we were praying for some things. And we'd opened it up for a few lay people to come in. And this one particular person, every time, felt the need to preach. He wasn't a pastor. He was a self-proclaimed prophet. Felt the need to preach to the pastors. We're sitting here looking, dude, we got that revelation 10 years ago. Where have you been? You know, I remember looking at a couple of them and we were just like, how do you politely shut him down? We didn't want to totally blow him out of the water. But it's like, man, you're preaching to the choir here. Now, if preachers get together and somebody gets a revelation, that's great. And sometimes I know you've gotten a revelation already of something I may have just been sharing. Maybe I've had the revelation. But maybe the guy sitting next to you didn't. See, that's my job, is to teach and edify the church. So they were all coming together. He said, but if anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or three at the most, each in turn, and let one interpret. You know what was happening? We had 10 people trying to bring forth tongues, and they were all vying for position. I was the first one. Let mine be interpreted first. No, there's a tongue. That's why I've taught years ago, if God is speaking through you in a tongue, note, I'm going to hold the service up until it's interpreted, and if there's nobody to interpret, That means it falls on you to interpret it. So make sure you're praying in tongues isn't trying to come up above and say, hey, here I am, because I'm going to interpret that as a word. But just so you know, God has started, this is one of the things God started doing in me years ago. When I was just the sound man, I knew when a word was coming forth. I knew before the pastor did. I know when a word's coming forth in here, because it's the same Holy Spirit in me that is working. It's a real word. I know he's trying to say something. And I ain't going to lie, there was a couple times that the people started getting that constipated look on their face, and I was like, well, yep, here it comes. And it was the same word they'd shared 3 weeks ago. Verse 28, but if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. The prophets don't get to judge their own prophecies. That's everybody else's job. So, brother, exactly what do you mean God's going to smite our enemies? You know, that's a real common thing. God's going to smite your enemies. Smite's a pretty strong word. It means to kill. I don't want my people killed, because that's who the real enemy is working through, is through the people. But that's what we think. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. I'm going to repeat that. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Your gift is subject to you. I knew one person today would always say, well, I just can't help but praying in tongues over the food. Inappropriate time. I'll just tell you right now. You do not need to cast out demons out of your food. Nowhere does the Bible teach this. The Bible says that if you eat anything out of thankfulness. By the way, the Bible does not teach either that you need to pray three times a day to bless your food. Once. Jesus said, and give us this day our daily bread. He was thankful for it. I've seen people, they got to stop the train just to bless the candy bar they're about to eat. Man, when I eat a candy bar 9 times out of 10, it's already down before I thought about that. Oh, Pastor, you're going to hell. You know, I've sat down and eat my whole dinner. You weren't thankful? No, the Bible says if I eat out of unthankfulness, I thank God for my food. I thank God for that day. I thank God a lot for the day. You probably noticed that. I'm grateful to be alive. This may come as a shock. I actually do love the place God put me on this planet. Do I love what's going on? No. But neither does God. But he still loves this world. So your gifts are subject to you. You can control them. You can control whether you're going to pray in tongues. It is a switch. You can turn it on and off. It's an amazing thing. And if you can't control it, shut up. There, did I say that mildly enough? Gifts are for a purpose, to build up, not to build walls. The gifts of the Spirit are one of the biggest church splitters there are. Denominations have split over whether we don't believe in tongues. Listen, tongues are still here. They are very real. The Bible says when that which is perfect has passed away, has matured, has come about, then that which is in part, which is tongues, will pass away. This Bible is not perfect. I'm just telling you, it's a book. And by the way, the passage we're reading in that particular scripture is talking about love. When love is mature, there's no need for tongues, is what it says. But none of us, our love is going to be totally perfect. Just saying. I know it's going contrary to what we were taught, most of us were taught growing up. Well, a lot of those preachers are gone. Some of them have died, stupid things. Some of them just got old. Others are gone because they couldn't walk what they were preaching. They weren't preaching love, they were preaching regulation. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. God is not an author of confusion. He's not here to make this person feel weird or different. Well, I don't understand it, so I'm not going to come back. Well, listen, if you don't understand something, try to learn what you can. There's so much of stuff I don't understand, but I realize that when I understand how where somebody's coming from, I can relate to them and I can talk to them. Has anybody ever paid attention to people who are Wiccans besides me? A lot of them are seriously into a lot of tattoos. I mean, a lot. A lot of tattoos. Body piercings. They aren't what society would call the cream of the crop. They were rejects. They were rejected from the church. Many of them came from the church. And what they did is they found someplace they fit, someplace that would accept them. And they just went along with everything else. See, unless you put yourself in the shoes of somebody who's been rejected because of the way you look, because of your body type, when you put yourself there, then maybe you start having a little compassion on people. Even though by law, Jesus was not supposed to be talking to that Samaritan woman. Typically by law, you didn't talk to another man's wife, period. He was still sitting by that well, and he was still conversing with her. He didn't condemn her. He just told her what he knew of her. Yeah, I know who you are. And the man you're with now isn't your husband. You've had five of them. If you want spiritual gifts, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, pursue love. The gifts only operate by love. I don't care how much you can pray in tongues. I don't care if you can pray for 3 hours straight without taking a breath. Don't really care. I don't care how much scripture you have memorized. I really don't care. Because I've found the more people that have actually memorized a bunch of the Bible have absolutely no idea what it says. They've memorized theories. They've memorized passages, and that's it. There's no revelation. I knew of a man, his son-in-law was telling me, he said, this man has memorized half of the Bible. That's an undertaking. But when the man was dying, I think he had cancer. When he was dying, this man told me, he said, my father-in-law asked me to shoot him in the head with a gun, to kill him. So you would ask your son-in-law to commit murder because you don't understand that Isaiah 53:5 says, by the stripes you are healed. I don't care how you twist that around. It's very simple. That's physically and emotionally. You can be healed. You've got to believe. I can believe all day for you, but if you don't believe, it's not happening. Just like you can pray for somebody who's dying. If they want to die, they're dying. That's all there is to it. You cannot change somebody's will just because you believe. Well, Pastor, there was those four men that they lowered this guy down through the roof. And Jesus said, great is the faith of them. The man was unconscious. He had no will. He was on a stretcher. But they believed, and Jesus healed him. That's how that works. If you don't want to believe, it don't matter how much I believe for you. I can believe you're healed till I'm blue in the face. Or blue in the faith. Yeah, that does work. Until you believe, I'm just babbling. I'm just bumping my gums. I can't control your decisions. I can't control what you think, what you say, how you feel, how you react. Only you can. So I hope above all things, folks, that if anything you got out of these messages on prophecy particularly, that you understand the first thing, you got to pursue love. You've got to pursue love. If somebody's not willing to tell you the truth, you keep coming to me wanting a job. Are you looking? That's the first question I'm going to ask. Well, no, I'm believing God's going to bring me one. It ain't happening. Get one first. I don't care if it's flipping burgers. Flip burgers. Do something. Then God can bring you a job. Well, Pastor, I want this. I want that. Well, you know, do you have a job? No. Then how do you expect to pay for a car? Oh, God's going to bring me one. Yeah. Snap you into reality. I know a lot of people been running around that. We just start claiming what we want and we just believe God's going to bring it. God brings some things. Everything else, he said, go get a job. Well, Pastor, I want food. If you ain't looking for a job and your family's starving, men particularly, I'm gonna hammer men. Don't come to me and ask for food. I'm just going to tell you straight up. Go find a job. Put your faith to work in something. Besides looking for the handout. Most people want a handout. I don't want to go get a job, especially today. I don't know what the deal is. People call me, first thing they throw at me is, my baby is about to run out of milk. That's the very first thing. They got a kid, they throw that baby up there. Because they know, well, we're not going to turn. And I've said, well, have you gone to the food shelters? Oh, yeah, I go to them all the time. They know the exact locations and exact times, and they're there every month. But yet, they're calling me wanting food. We had one particular person who needed food. And I told Andrew, I was still learning. Still, God was growing me up. You know, my bleeding heart was just pouring out. And I said, I'll tell you what, we'll bring you some food. My wife and I will go get you some food and we'll bring it to you. It's because her car was in the shop and couldn't get it out. Okay, I'll be here and this is where I live. I get there, they're not home. Thought you couldn't go anywhere. Thought you were stranded. I brought you perishables. There are a dozen cats running around this neighborhood. They're all sitting in the front yards. This was in Marengo. I told her, I said, well, I'll tell you what, we keep the meat, leave them a note. If they want the perishables, they can come to church and get it. You know what? You know the quickest way to find out if people really want something? Tell them they got to come to church. I had a guy kept showing up, wanting money. No, eventually I said, you know what? You can come to church. His wife sat out in the car the whole time. He sat on the back row. And then I told him, I said, we're not doing this anymore. I said, you need money? I need somebody to help me. You're going to come to work for me or this is done. He came to work for me for a little bit, helped me out. But moved away, and the next thing I know, I'm getting a call. I need money. No, I'm done. Done playing your game. It's just God growing us up. Well, that doesn't sound like love. Now, it's not love for me to take what is mine. Listen, you need to understand, Jesus taught this, actually. It is not for me to take away from the children and give it to the dogs. People all bent out of shape about Trump calling MS-13 animals. Jesus flat out called other people of other denominations dogs. Okay, you need to understand that. But he was making a point. I don't take from here and give it to people that don't appreciate it. And that's that. Which, by the way, MS-13 should be hunted down like animals. That's my opinion. And they are in Ohio now. They got them up just above Cleveland. So don't think they can't come around here. But Pastor, you're a mean, rude, violent person. If I have to be. I had somebody tell me, he said, when I was explaining my background, they said, I'm a lover, not a fighter. So am I. Except I'll fight for that which I love. There's a huge difference. That's just all there is to it. You a little shaved head freak that thinks tattoos belong on your face? Well, and you think you're going to point a gun at me and walk away? One of us is not. You may have my tooth in your leg, but one of us is. I'm going to go with you. A part of me is going with you. You think I'm lying about that? I told you, hey, listen, I know I'm not as good as I once was, but doggone it, if I got a chew on a leg or an ankle, I'm not too proud. All right, let's stand. I'll leave you on a happy note. How's that? By the way, you just need to understand, folks, God was never about us laying down and saying, oh, please, I'm the submissive puppy, beat me again. He never really taught that. Never. As a matter of fact, at one point, you do remember just before he was betrayed, he said, you know, before I told you don't take a sword, he said, now I'm telling you to take a sword. And lo and behold, Peter produces two. That's interesting, isn't it? I can promise you Simon had the other one, Simon the Zealot. I can promise you he had the other one because he was what we'd call a terrorist. He was zealous for Israel and had no problem killing Roman soldiers. Jesus ain't telling us to form an army and go out and kill people, but he never said we couldn't protect ourselves. All right, let's pray. Father God in heaven, we are truly grateful, Lord, for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for the gifts. I thank you for prophecy. I thank you for tongues. I thank you for words of knowledge, words of wisdom, Father. I thank you for all of these things. Lord, I know that people have abused them, and I know there have been good people who have used them properly. Father, I pray that you help us all to, one, to abide by things through love, that we walk through love in all of our gifts, Father. And Father, that if people have told us things in the past that have not come around, Lord, that you help us set them on a shelf and move on with our lives, because maybe that's what's holding us up. Father, I thank you that people are being healed because they believe. Father, I thank you that needs are being met because they believe. Now, Father, I thank you for these people. I bless them, Father God. I know that as they go out these doors, Lord God, they are going into the mission field. Father, I pray that as opportunities arise, that you put the words into their mouths to speak life into people. Father, bless them as they go. In Jesus' name, amen.